Did I hear you're shopping for a car? Because I've been at it for ages. Ugh, such a time suck, right?
Not really. I bought it on Carvana. Super convenient.
Oh, then comes all the financing, research. Am I right?
Well, you can, but I got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, but then all the number crunching and terms, right?
Nope. I saw real numbers as I shopped, found my dream car, and got it in a couple of days.
Wait, like you already have it?
Yep.
Oh.
Go to Carvana.com to finance your car the convenient way.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. This is the internet's only college football podcast. If you want another one, too bad. This is it, y'all.
By God, that was the Shutdown Fullcast music.
Intros. What would, like, if we were wrestlers, what would, I mean, would I would want for an opening song, I would want one that we actually had to sing. Because the best opening song for any wrestler ever is the Big Show's anthem. Jason, would you like to remind everyone why that is?
Because it appears that he is singing it. And on Twitter, there is a legendary tweet that says, Big Show was for damn show in the booth talking about, well!
I enjoy it because of the accuracy in advertising.
Shawn Michaels, of course, sings his own theme song, whose lyrics are, I'm a sexy boy. Which is very excellent when he was doing his match against The Undertaker and he was the angel descending from heaven. He was a holy warrior coming down to defeat the devil to the tunes of himself singing about how sexy he is as a boy. He had a crucifix on his back, clad in white, and a sexy boy.
This is normal Tuesday shit.
I don't think you'll ever get a more accurate one than the Big Show's, though. Because the Big Show states, it's the Big Show, and then the Big Show comes out. It's the Billy Joel song of wrestling, right?
It's the resignation in the well, you know? Like,
Well,
it's the Big Show.
In case you wanted a medium show, too bad, y'all. Nope. All we got is this Big Show over here.
You want a medium show, you tune into AEW.
Yeah, that's...
6-1.
I did see something before we tackle some business and the topic of the day, which, by the way, is it both an internet classic and, yes, wrestling related for college football. It's the offseason, y'all. We're gonna go ahead and we're gonna make meat out of the whole animal, okay? If we kill it, we're gonna use every part.
Okay.
All right.
Are animals made of meat before they're dead?
Yes, potential meat. Every animal is potential meat. Mm. You just have to think of it that way.
All right. You're very sage.
So the one thing that I was thinking when we were going, talking about the medium show in AEW is this. I saw something that I really wish we could do in college football, okay? Because Shawn Michaels in a match this week took the camera from the camera person, right? After who he had whooped up on, I believe, Cody Rhodes.
Oh, is this Chris Jericho?
Yeah, it was Chris Jericho. Yeah, right. It's Chris Jericho. So Chris Jericho, legend already, just amped up his already sizable legacy by taking an actual camera from a camera person on the broadcast, pointing it at a prone and bloodied Cody Rhodes, and then holding out the middle finger in front of the lens so that he was getting that shot and they could get him getting the shot of someone flicking him off. I guarantee you, if Florida absolutely houses a team I hate this fall, oh yeah, I'm going to post that like 300 times. That's beautiful, Chris Jericho. I love you.
I believe you. I believe you'll do that.
Do we have some podcast business?
By God, that's podcast business's music.
Podcast business! Podcast business! What's that business? Wrestling business! Slammed on concrete! It's all for the kids!
As of this recording, which is Tuesday, March 3rd, if you're listening to this, it'll be Wednesday, March 4th or after. As of this recording, we are scheduled to still perform at South by Southwest as scheduled. Which, again, as of this recording, is still happening. Check your local listings.
South by Southwest, where is that at? What city, pray tell?
Sunday, March 15th, 2020, at the Belmont on West 6th in Austin.
Austin, Texas!
We have
Dusty Rhodes himself!
We have once again bamboozled and hoodwinked our way into Vox Media's South By setup. What does this mean? This means we get to parachute down in the middle of a whole bunch of people asking, what is a podcast exactly? And give them our terrible, terrible example. The show is free. You do have to RSVP, though, and space is limited. If you will visit either 24, 25, or 26 snakes.com and answer a real quick, like three questions real quick, audience survey for us so we know who all's coming. And how many Texas fans versus Aggie fans are going to be in there, so we can tailor the fraction of our jokes accordingly. Not that we've ever told a joke on this program. There will also be a link in there that you can click to RSVP through Vox. The time has already changed once. We were originally scheduled to go at 4 p.m. Central Time, and you could now say that we are at 3 p.m. Central Time, but I prefer to think it as we have just moved the show to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. As God intended.
I like it.
All right.
Come on down to 26snakes.com, fill out the spreadsheet, and see us at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas.
Dusty claimed like at least three hometowns. That's how you know he was a real good wrestler. Real good wrestlers and perfect wrestlers, the more hometowns you claim, the better. For instance, Dusty would go, Austin, that's my hometown. That's where I'm from. And then you go, well,
Saskatchewan, where I was raised as a little boy.
That's like politicians and wrestlers have the most hometowns.
They do. This is why they're both very compatible. Like Dusty was also from Atlanta, used to do car ads here. At one point said the immortal line, hey, Japanese cab driver, in one of those ads. He also claimed to be from Orlando and Jacksonville alternately. I don't know. There's some.
I feel like Atlanta slash Marietta, extremely wrestling energy. And then the Jacksonville, Tampa, Orlando corridor. Extremely fertile. Like every wrestler is from all of those towns.
And Tokyo. Yeah, this is why. That's true. I think like you're automatically from Ribera Steakhouse in Tokyo, right? That's one of your hometowns. I think this is why college football and professional wrestling are always compatible, because this is one thing coaches do. You cannot tell a coach or an assistant coach that they are not familiar with a place, right? You can go, hey man, you know, my uncle's from Bug Tussle. Oh yeah, I've been there. Yeah, Bug Tussle, that's a great place.
Yeah.
Don't test them on it, though, by the way, because they might prove you wrong.
You got to have recruiting connections everywhere, because you won't be hired to do a job in that area, and that would be fucking horrible, because then you would not make as much money.
This is why The Rock was made in a lab, because not only did The Rock play college football, right, which is how he ended up doing the intro for LSU's pregame, their final pregame video for the national title, because Edo's just got The Rock's number in his phone because he was his position coach at Miami. Right.
Sure.
In addition to being, I think The Rock is also a very college football player in that most people don't remember he played for Miami, and he was succeeded and pipped by a better player. The Rock was, of course, knocked out of the lineup by Warren Sapp. Right.
Only two memories of him as a college football player were sacking Charlie Ward, which appears in Fast 7.
Mm-hmm.
And almost getting in a fight with San Diego State's shirtless mascot. And I mean, to me, you do those things, you probably fight Coach O, just because, you're just going to fight Coach O, and you get your job taken by Warren Sapp. That is a complete college football career.
You're an extremely college football player at that point, right? He would be famous for that alone had he not become The Rock. Additionally, The Rock has 7 hometowns, at least. You're from Memphis? Yeah, I'm from Memphis. Okay, he's kind of from Memphis. You're from Nashville? Yeah.
Got that farm in Virginia situation.
He does have like a farm in Virginia situation. He's got a gym here in Atlanta.
Really?
He's got a gym in New York, a West Coast gym. Yeah.
I think everywhere he plants a gym,
by
the way.
Wait, does The Rock reproduce with spores?
I think so.
Is like, this what's happening here?
I think everywhere The Rock plants a gym, he legally owns and is a citizen of. Right?
Is this just like his sweat flies off his body? And barbells just start bursting up out of the ground.
Yeah, this is his.
That's a neat trick.
This is his computer turn-based role playing game Civilization's Advantage, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Rock Civilization, Rock Sylvania can go ahead and plant a station that automatically like puts out health and barbells,
mm-hmm.
right? Oh, and he's from Hawaii, so you got like Hawaii, Memphis, Nashville, anywhere he's ever lifted a barbell, Miami. He'll claim Miami. This is why he ended up where he was. He was designed in a lab to be successful in his particular niche and all of the other sub niches that it included.
Okay.
This is kind of slightly off topic, but it reminds me of how Jason Momoa is from Hawaii and Iowa.
Hawaii.
He's from Hawaii and Iowa.
Is it Hawaii or Iowai?
I like Iowai. Yeah.
I like the second.
Yeah. I bet that is a fight at the football table when you're determining philosophies. Hawaii rolls in. They do a little passing, boys.
He's watching the Rainbow Warriors and he's like watching Cole McDonald. And he's just like shaking, like, throw it away, throw it away.
Oh, God, throw it away. Take a knee. Take a knee. I do know this. Iowa and Hawaii can get down on one thing, bulk. Like, oh, yeah. That's a big beefy boy.
So what we are gathered here to do today is to discuss college football internet's most enduring topic, which is coaches fighting each other and picking the coaches who would be best at this. Holly has noted, what was it?
Season two, I think. This was the first ever reader question that you guys took. And I, thank you, Spencer. I hope I'm not slandering him, because I hope I'm not remembering this wrong, but I believe it was Bruce Feldman himself who first asked you guys who you would select in a six-man tag team from the rank of current college football coaches.
You heard that. You heard it right. Bruce Feldman was our very first podcast reader.
I'm pretty sure. I'm remembering that. I do not intend to go back and check my work. Do not at me. You may at Bruce. He has lots of wrestling opinions.
And so since then, we've sort of touched on it every now and then, but I don't remember if we've done a full episode on it. We've probably done like six. I don't know. Spencer, what is our match setup here? You even have a name for it and everything.
I do. This is a five-man match that we've decided to do with each of us. That would be Holly, Jason, Spencer, and Ryan's kind of present.
Ryan, so for the two other teams, we have the collective readership of the podcast. We sent out a Twitter ballot and had people dump in names and then sort of filled out an auto draft board there. So you, the podcast reader, will get your own team to manage. And also, of all the names in that list, every coach who only got one vote, I've assigned them to Ryan's draft board because he's not here. So
this would be this would be the five man tag setup, AKA the Penta Brawl. The Penta Brawl. From the authors of the Triangular Fandangular. We bring you the Penta Brawl.
I'm not making the noise again.
Only at the War Memorial Auditorium Armory National Guard. The more modifiers.
Yeah, this has got big National Guard Armory energy.
I love everybody who runs a National Guard Armory. They're nuts. All the bookers, they're the people who in your town, they're like, yeah, you know, let's go ahead and book that, you know, band full of like S&M guys and then follow it up with like a church revival. That'll be fine. That's perfect. That's why they always book wrestling.
Is the greatest and most reliable American business to just make a concrete floored gym somewhere?
Yes. It's the only one.
We should just buy a building.
Yeah. This is why we start an app where they're like, hey, what if we just had a concrete floor? Yeah, with no management. And we just pointed people at it. It's brilliant.
Make a fucking sovereign dominion.
That's just, if you have a concrete expanse, we'll book an event on it without asking anybody. And they're like, that's not a business. That's crime. Yeah, but we have an app.
Nope.
That's not a business. That's crime. Listen, no one has ever gone to jail for doing business in this country.
Ever. So we are going to each take turns. Jason has set our draft order. We are going to select what we believe to be our strongest five-man team. We will all have different philosophies for this. I'm even going to go ahead and have different jargon because I'm a very specific kind of manager, wrestling manager.
Okay.
They all have types. I'm going to be one as well. So Jason, please get us started.
What's your type, babe, then?
What's your type, babe?
On paper.
Muscular.
So randomized draft order, snake order each round, except
Serpentine! Sorry.
Except for Ryan being last in each round because he's not here.
That's right.
Our first pick, first round, is Holly.
Oh, shit. Man, I thought I was really going to have to pick. So I have like a cluster of guys I wanted to draft at the top.
Okay.
But I figured I'd have a couple of them off the board because I'm never first. All right. I'm not going to make any kind of pretense towards a canny move. I'm taking our boy Kyle Whittingham off the board.
Okay.
Relentless. I have decided every A-team needs like a graying 2 days to retirement guy.
Yeah.
Who will also never log off. And nowhere are those simultaneous energies embodied better than in our relentlessly calved man from Utah.
Do you feel like Kyle Whittingham has some like very, very serious vibes akin to like a Hart brother? Like he seems
I'm more of a hard brother.
So I want him coming out like an old 80s Steiner brother. I want him wearing leather jacket and trunks, because all we need to see are these legs. Let's not take attention away from the quads and the calves.
Like he could wear a poncho over his top half and it would be fine.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. We'll call him the poncho.
Yeah.
We're looking about 6 foot tall, 220, stout, former WAC Defensive Player of the Year, made 3 pro rosters. Strong pick.
Yeah, hasn't missed.
Has had to play against relentless teams of Mormon nut punchers for years and years and years, and that man's got some energy to work off.
I think he could pull off the Joey Ryan iron dick move, right? Where you try to grab it, but he turns it on you, right? Because he's played BYU all these years, and they specialize in the like, you know, low-key nut punch.
I gotta say, by the way, Bronco Mendenhall entirely off my draft board for this reason. There's loose cannons and there's dick punching loose cannons, and I don't need that kind of chemistry.
He's on mine for the same reason, actually.
Doesn't that fucking figure?
So yeah, I'm not saying where I'm going to draft him if he's still on the board.
First between me, Spencer, and the readers, because
I don't need that kind of chemistry in my locker room. But you know, that's just me. That's just the kind of leader I am.
Up next, pick two, the overwhelming favorite on the public readers ballot, Coach Ed Ogeron.
Fools.
They're all in on the big fella. The 6'2", 240, former assistant strength coach, 58 years old, kinder and gentler. Still a crazy person, though.
Spencer, you said fools. Why?
Fools. Because I have a better pick.
I have a better pick. I think everyone expected me to go with Ed for the first one, but this is still this is still a man who has to ultimately have some modicum of control. And I gotta go with a born leader for the first one, and that's of course the man whose team didn't come close to winning a national. Fuck.
It was really good till mid-November. So
yeah, but point being,
much like Utah,
you know who Ed is going to get distracted by anything. Right? He's going to be the guy who gets distracted by the ref and takes a chair to the head.
Have Michigan fans thought that this is maybe possibly the chance that they finally could take out an SEC team if they just do their little key jangling thing?
What's our doors?
That's a shiny object. That's a lure.
This is too much. It's too much stimulus for my system.
Next up is me, and I am delighted to get the number one name on my board, Luke Fickell.
Oh, he was high on mine.
6'4", stout, barrel chest, 4-year starting nose guard at Ohio State, only 46 years old, and a 106-0 high school wrestler. Also, as pointed out by Reader Sporps Shouting, he has like 100 children. The dad strength is off the charts. He's only gotten more powerful since he was one of the biggest high school wrestlers of all time.
And this also suggests, by the way, this is why Luke Fickell was in my top three. And this also suggests his extensive breeding has given him a degree of flexibility throughout the trunk area as he has aged. You know, a lot of men will calcify into pieces of furniture or large trees as they get older. I bet Luke's pretty limber.
So we're talking loose hips, quite evidently.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking a big guy who can also do a little bit of aerial maneuvers, like a Drew McIntyre, like an Aleister Black type. So yeah. I'm delighted to get Luke Fickell.
Also, I'm going to give you another wrestling bonus here. He's from Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
he survived happily. He is thriving in Ohio.
Man, he
has turned down chances to leave Ohio.
He might be related to the Poffos, which would put him in like distant relation to Randy Savage, which gives him like, he's
Rodney Savage.
He was number one on my board with the bullet, and second place is honestly a long way off. That's why I've got to go to what I think some of my longtime followers, listeners, and readers will find a bit of a shock. But I wanted to start, if I could not start, with skill. with Luke Fickell being the obvious like winner here, then I'm going to have to start with some old school wrestling attitude. Okay. I need some unchained intensity.
If you take Solich from me, I swear to God. Frank.
He's wily.
His finish moves the triple option. Binge in
three
ways.
There's a folding chair inside those pleated pants. How'd it get out? We don't know.
Frank Solich
got a lot of pockets.
Frank Solich is the CPA. Cruelty, punishment, and arrogance. That's his finishing move.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Please continue.
I'll review those books. I'm actually talking about a real WWE character.
Are you talking
here now,
yourself
right?
into Frank Solich?
Yeah, I was, but I'm going to go back and focus here because I'm going to assume that if I take this guy, he's going to be a bit of a lovable loser. He's going to be somebody with great intensity. He's going to be somebody who comes and pulls upsets when you least expect it, even when you say, knock him down to his third string move, all right, if he has to do that. It's going to be somebody whose shirt tail is never tucked in, somebody who rushes to the stage with an intensity unmatched to man
then
is immediately knocked out with a folding chair, somebody who forms the heart of the team because since Fickell's off the board, I'm going to have to draft brains in the second and the third round, okay? So for absolute unstoppable intensity in all circumstances, even though he's never going to get that belt.
You said a heart, so it can't be Urban.
I'm going to go ahead and take Will Muschamp.
Wow. Jesus wept.
Wow.
You can see it with the Jim Duggan, the 2x4. Maybe we put some overalls on him. Yeah.
Big Tom Cullen energy out of Will Muschamp.
About 6 foot tall, very lumpy. 48-year-old former Georgia captain, extreme intensity. This guy's
body type is listed here as tuber.
Yep.
This guy's
like a rutabaga.
This guy's for boiler room matches.
That's a former starting defensive player in the SEC, y'all. There's some surprising athleticism there.
Okay.
I'd like to point out that Mizzou also fields starting defensive players in the SEC.
Yeah. Also, who's going to give you the heat? All right? Y'all are drafting like competence, but man, Will Muschamp's nothing but heat. Admittedly, that heat sometimes sets himself on fire and those around him.
I'd like to congratulate Will Muschamp at this time on having burned out of Spencer the notion that competence is anything to seek in athletic leadership.
It wasn't just athletic leadership that did that.
So in wrestling, what Spencer's referring to as heat is when the crowd reacts, often in a negative way. To be booed, that also counts as heat. There is a style of it called go-home heat, where you are booing a wrestler, not because you do not like their character. You're booing this wrestler because you do not like them as a human being. Will Muschamp has generated go-home heat in across America.
Who's bringing it hotter than Will Muschamp in that respect? Look, no one.
Up next is Ryan with... Remember how we're picking Ryan's, of course. We were going with everyone who got one vote in the public readership ballot. Ryan takes Derek Dooley off the board. A man.
Oh, goodness gracious. That's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
A man sort of shaped like a greyhound and he's going to wrestle in the big orange khakis.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to bring the stool down. That's his weapon. Yeah. Derek Dooley's off the board in round one. Spencer, you're up to start round two.
That's astonishing. Okay, so I'm actually going to need some athleticism since I just drafted Will Muschamp. Competence might have to wait pending results this year.
Will Muschamp, confidence might have to wait.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take Scott Frost of Nebraska off the board. Because he big. That's a former option quarterback turned NFL like safety briefly, who still hang cleans, I believe, 225 with a fair amount of ease. And also super WWE looking, like just a big slab of dude, right? Who can look real cold. Kind of looks like Randy Orton's like giant Norwegian cousin.
He looks like, so if you have a Charmander, Charmeleon, Charizard,
mm-hmm.
You're going from Landry from Friday Night Lights to Scott Frost to Brock Lesnar. That's the same person.
Yeah.
And one evolution short of Brock Lesnar, that's a scary person. Scott Frost, 6'3", best NFL career of anyone here. That's a great pick.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and take him because I think there's still some athleticism there, definitely strength. And in a pinch, we can put him on some performance enhancers of some sort.
He's also good for his own promos at all time because every day is Scott Frost Day.
He already has a wrestler's name,
mm.
right?
Frost. There's a freeze warning.
He also strikes me as a biter. So
yeah,
this is Rusev. Rusev's whole catchphrase is "It's Rusev Day." Scott Frost is going to steal his gimmick.
It's Scott Frost Day. Yeah.
Who's next? It is.
I believe it is you.
Oh man, I'm very excited. I got number two on my board to pair with number one on my board. I'm taking Mario Cristobal.
Ooh,
who was public validating? I got to point out, a lot of ladies voting for Mario.
He's on my board.
Yeah,
I'm siding with the female wisdom here. 6'4", was a 280 as a player, all Big East offensive lineman, only 49. Very excited to welcome him to the team.
Yeah. Clearly a draw at multiple corners of the country, having experience both at Florida International and at Oregon.
I'm going, by the way, with Mario, I'm going like Big Sexy energy here.
National appeal. Yeah.
Yeah. Like somewhere between The Rock and Razor Ramon.
Coming out with a comb.
Oh yeah. No, he's got a comb. There's definitely some kind of like serious, like vanity going. He's in the Gorgeous George category, right? Of I'm going to do some stuff, which is purely like, I just got out of the man salon and I'm coming straight to the ring. He's got a lot of that.
I think based on the response from the ladies in the Shutdown Fullcast universe being the wrestling term for fan for some reason. But yeah, the ladies out there definitely are sort of filling out his character for him, I guess.
Okay.
This is definitely the first coach on this list who I feel like it would be acceptable for us to put on television in a dressing gown or a smoking jacket.
Yeah. Big robe, right? Like Ric Flair robe.
Yeah.
Next up is the Readers with, they have a stipulation for this guy.
Granted.
We'll see what he can get away with.
Our Readers have a real hive mind, is something we discovered.
Mike Gundy.
Okay. No.
All want him to have a weapon.
All right.
So they get Mike Gundy, and then he figures out what weapon he can bring to the ring. I was not high on Gundy. He is not big at all. 184.
This is a strange week to peak Mike Gundy after you find out he hunts with a silencer.
He's only 184 at the NFL Combine. That was the biggest he got in his entire life. And his football job was handing the ball to Barry Sanders. I could do that.
I will defend him on the basis of picking five for a professional wrestling match, not necessarily a wrestling match, right? So if we got five going for the professional wrestling match, one, Gundy's mic skills are going to be great. Two, he is his own gimmick, right? Three, name already works, right? Mike Gundy!
Okay.
And in addition to that, you say the stipulation is that he has a weapon. He's going to have a weapon anyway. You might as well work it into the character, right?
Okay.
Yeah, the Oki rattlesnake!
So the Readers right now have Coach O and Gundy. That's a fucking, we'll sell some t-shirts with that duo.
I'm telling you, the Readers are putting together the t-shirt team, right? This is the merch squad. They are going to move units and they are going to sell pay-per-views.
Holly, you're up next.
All right, I'm going with another fairly obvious pull. I can't believe he's still on the board, but the second item on my list to hunt for after a solid silver leadership was somebody who can function as the Prince Puma of my team.
Oh, I know.
And to that end, there's only one choice, and it's PJ Fleck.
Yes. Actually, this is outstanding.
We know that he is fond of turning workaday Office Depot type clothes into flashy sideline appeal. The man has catchphrases for days. He will talk anyone else in this arena off the mic and out of the building. And he's frankly the only coach, I think probably on this entire, I went through the entire roster looking for who can be my big aerial guy. Cause I am extremely fond of the Lucha Underground and its offshoots and its predecessors. And I want somebody who can fly around a little bit. I'm going to need an acrobat. I'm going to need an acrobat who's a certified crazy person. And that intersection consists of one man.
Can I point out?
Mm?
You already have an illicit weapon to bring into the ring as your finishing move.
The Next. Or?
Yeah.
The Or. Yeah.
That's, yeah. I can picture it now. They're chanting, Or.
Choose or perish.
Yeah.
That, yeah. Very strong kick. You're getting an excellent athlete who was once called, and this is a resounding endorsement, a freaking warrior by none other than Dennis Erickson. So... Only 39 is going to be with you for a long time. Tons and tons and endless character value. So
Great. And you know what? This is a wrestling term, but it's one that I think transcends and makes sense across. Real worker. Like, amazing worker, right? Oh, like, yeah. Nobody's going to do more ring work.
Well, James Franklin, maybe, but...
Yeah.
Wouldn't you love to see PJ Fleck and James Franklin in an actual wrestling match?
Yeah, I would.
Actually, maybe I just want to see them box.
I think, so, like, the internet wrestling fan thing here is work rate, which is how much do you move during a match? PJ Fleck, probably number one in this category.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, who is it? Ryan again?
It is.
Ryan, it is.
Up again. Ryan will be selecting Clay Helton. The man who cannot die.
The invisible man.
Jason, I'm actually really surprised that Clay Helton got so few votes, given what we know of his build.
Yeah, I mean, he could.
I say what we know of his build because we cannot identify, but we've seen pictures purporting to be him.
Yeah.
But
I think it's kind of like dark matter in the universe. Like, we know where it isn't, you know, we see its effects on other things. We can see its gravity, even though light can't interact with it. That's kind of like Clay Helton.
Mm-hmm.
Next up is Holly to start round three.
Ah, hello. All right. Third pick. I need a brawler. I need someone who is, I need a melee fighter. I need someone who is going to have to be brought back down out of the stands where he is beating a patron over the head with their own corn dog. I need someone who's going to have to be tased back into the ring. Mark Stoops, come on down.
Pow! That's a spectacular pick.
Also, I really just like the idea of Mark Stoops having to interact with PJ Fleck in a locker room.
Can I go ahead and give you this, though? Like, mm-hmm. Mark Stoops and PJ Fleck, great tag team, because Mark Stoops is the underrated worker, mm-hmm. while PJ Fleck is the outspoken underdog. Mm-hmm. The two of them together as a tag team, that's quite something.
Yeah, I give this a lot of thought. Thank you.
Holly, have you considered at all picking all of the Stoopses?
The thought occurred, but, you know, Bob's just such a brittle old biddy that I couldn't quite go through with
it. He would be the one that, when he gets brought back, he's the one they put the title belt on for like 3 days just because he's back.
Mm-hmm.
No,
he only comes out for pay-per-views, right?
Oh yeah,
like Bob's like the Undertaker.
That's like if you're Bob. No offense to the Royals of the wrestling world, but if you're coming out in the sedan chair, I'm really not interested.
Okay. Next up is the Readers again with, this is probably their best work, Dana Holgorsen. Again, they were consistent on the character they want. They went sucker punches, backstabs, knives in a casino parking lot. They went just the dirty grappler.
Spencer, who is that wrestler that I call my high school boyfriend?
Jeremiah Crow, I think is his name. Yeah,
okay, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. He looks like high school boyfriend.
Yeah.
Ladies, if you're hearing this, bad kind of goth high school boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who she just picked.
I didn't pick him. The Readers did.
Yeah, the public demands Dana Holgorsen in the trunks. Like it's like this
in
is
the
like
trunks. He's rolled out of a trunk. We're gonna back we're gonna back an El Camino just into the arena, and Dana's just gonna be kind of pulled out of it with pool skimmers or another household retrieval tool.
Yeah.
I think every story about Jake the Snake preparing for a match, like he's like they're like the other guys walking past him, and he's just sitting on the hall floor smoking, and he's like, "Hey, we're gonna talk about the match," and nope, and he just rolls out there. That's the end. I am up next, and I got my two bruisers. I'm very light on character, like very light on catchphrases and mic work. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little torn because do I keep going with what I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take my mic guy here. I'm taking Brett Bielema.
Ooh.
6'6", significant, but not really like out of shape, just very big.
Yeah.
Former Iowa captain, defensive lineman, 1 year arena leaguer. He can work in a tight space. Only 50 years old. He's got an Iowa tattoo on his leg. That's a great look.
Quite moist at all times.
Free glistening. So Bielema is going to be our front and center. He does all the talking for our group.
I am next. And at this point with Will Muschamp and with Scott Frost, I got some beef. I got some hype. I have, I think we're wet enough. Remember, you have to be wet as a wrestler, and Will Muschamp alone is going to supply ample wetness for all of us. That means I'm...
Speak for yourself, son.
I love that there's some Karen in like coming Georgia who's like, only man besides my precious Dave who I ever,
you know, where?
Who I ever felt coming Georgia. It's a town.
Yeah, it's real.
Yeah. Karen just sitting there watching South Carolina football going, oh, something about that man. Whew, Will Muschamp. She's out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't want to admit it either, but it's gotta be true, right? I'm short on brains. And what I need,
brother, the heck you say?
I'm definitely short on brains.
Saying Will Muschamp and Scott Frost aren't doing it for you in the intellect department?
I'm also, I think, a little short on. I think I'm a little short on props, and I'm a little short on eccentricity because these are two. I got two guys who, you know, might be a lot of white bread, but it's still white bread. I need somebody who's had some different experiences in life, might have coached as far out as a person could get. That's why I'm going to select former Hawaii quarterback and former Hawaii head coach, current Washington State head coach, Nick Rolovich.
Nice one.
Yeah, because tactically, I think he's got a lot to work with. He's pretty good on the mic. He's going to be the one who manages to pull Will Muschamp out of the garbage can, mm-hmm. where he believes an evil demon lives in the middle of a match.
This is where a less experienced manager might have drafted someone like a Mike Norvell. But unlike a Mike Norvell, I think Nick Rolovich is far less likely to just say something wildly problematic, mm-hmm. In the middle of an otherwise smoothly running scene.
Yeah.
And you also have, like, you have a funny guy here now.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be really good on the mic, and he's going to be good on social media. He can run your team's Twitter account.
Mm-hmm. He could put Will Muschamp on a gentle leader to get him in the ring. This can all happen thanks to drafting Nick Rolovich, who I believe is an emerging star in the realm of hypothetical college football wrestling.
Next up is Ryan.
Mm.
With Carl Pellini.
Goodness. Whoa, is this accidentally a sleeper hood?
Yes. I was kind of surprised more people didn't pick Carl Pellini.
By which I mean Carl Pellini will choke you while you sleep in your home.
Yeah.
Outside the confines of wrestling.
As far as we know, Carl Pellini is a bona fide crazy person.
Where is Carl Pellini? I feel like I should know for my own safety.
He was with Bo at Youngstown, I believe. So I don't know if he followed Bo to LSU.
I believe he did.
Wherever he is, don't go there.
Mm.
Ryan's team now, of course, is Derek Dooley, Clay Helton, and Carl Pellini.
Goodness gracious.
Spencer, you're up to start round four.
Okay, remember when I said my team wasn't wet enough?
Okay.
I lied.
Yeah, I don't think any of us could forget that.
I lied. Right. I lied.
You know where you're going.
Yes. I wanted to take the wettest wrestler possible. I wanted to take somebody who was going to bring a little more heat. Because you can see I'm putting together the heat team, right? Like I'm putting together the hypest crew imaginable. For entering the ring and for exiting the ring. What happens in the ring might be kind of disorganized and strange.
Are you winding us up so you can draft Kirby?
No. Although Kirby and Will, if they were put together, mm-hmm. they would have the kind of tag team where if Will were being like painfully submitted in the middle of the ring, Kirby would be crying, right? Like, no, don't hurt my brother! Now we go to the same barber!
They're the two dogs and where the red fern grows. They are.
They're Kim and Chris from Love Island season 3.
No, 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 no. Don't you dare invoke those sweet boys.
So that's why I'm taking. He's a wily veteran. He's got an unusual gait. You don't want him to wear nothing but trunks in the ring, but that's exactly what he's wearing. And he's going to have the crazed mania of an old school worker with the technical innovation of a next guy. That's right. I'm taking Gary Patterson.
Gary Patterson.
Don't you ever invoke Kim and Chris again.
Surprising athleticism, if you look it up.
This team is incredibly warm.
Spencer, surprising athleticism, if you look it up, where?
His record as a player, he was an outstanding, I believe he played at Kansas State, was an outstanding linebacker there.
Hmm. In what year was he an outstanding linebacker at Kansas State?
That's irrelevant. Wrestling is forever, and you can come back
this
no matter
Kansas
how old
State.
You are.
Years are irrelevant.
I say yes. That not only in terms of his age, but because being outstanding at Kansas State, before like 1990 meant you were okay at football at best.
Hey, you know what? Hulk Hogan is like a legendary wrestler, and he only knows two moves. If you come up That's in the great. 80s, man.
Okay.
Fine.
Can we speak real quick of eras and names? Because researching draft order is how I discovered that Wake Forest's current currently has a coordinator named Lyle Hemphill. Lyle Hemphill. I don't know what Dust Bowl wagon he rolled off of and hit the wrong tumbleweed and fell through time to end up in Wake Forest. But Lyle Hemphill.
Lyle Hemphill.
That might have to be your stage name.
Lyle Hemphill, though, works at Wake Forest because, like Georgia football, if your name sounds like some sort of white-collar service organization and company, right? Like, oh, my accountants, Lyle Hemphill. They're great. Go use them.
I'm up next, and I'm going to keep building a squad of absolute brutes. We got three tall guys. We're gonna step down just a little bit in height, but not a lot. I think people think he's shorter than he is just because of the look of his neck and head. He has sort of the neck and head of like a 4'2" bodybuilder, you know?
Yeah.
It's Kalani Sitake.
That's a good pick.
He was on my- starting fullback at BYU and team captain, only 44 years old. You look at pictures of him staring down Whittingham, and he looks like he is going to eat him. So,
I mean, maybe.
My team is just, what is this? This is 1,000 pounds of muscle so far.
Also, staring down a man like Kyle Whittingham, who is built like an armoire.
Yes.
Respect to Sitake for this.
Yes. Yeah. The readers are up next, and they are selecting quality choice Mel Tucker.
God damn it!
He's already got the uniform. He's got the shorts.
Wait, how did he not get more votes? He was next on my board this exact reason. I needed some flash. I needed a broad audience favorite, and we already know that he is willing to wear pants that are shorter than socially acceptable in harsh environments. Man. I'm angry about this.
Also, someone noted he proposed to his wife on their first date, which was a blind date.
What?
He's going to walk in the ring. First words out of his mouth are going to be the exact thing he means. You know, he's going to tell the crowd exactly what he thinks of it right away. So, also, you're probably going to have to spend a lot of money because WWE is going to take him. So
fast.
Enjoy yeah. while you got him.
Yeah. You get whoever the big dude is, right? Like, they're like, oh, he's big. We should sign him.
This is messing up my next pick. But I'm going to think on my feet like a good wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I need vague notions of, there's really no replacement for Mel Tucker is the problem. There's no replacement on my board.
But let's review your assets. All right. Do you have enough hype?
I really don't. And that makes me want to edge directly towards the hypingest man remaining on the board, although I do think he's more of a polarizing figure than Mel Tucker would have been. I got to go with Narduzzi.
Okay.
Who has the most mesmerizing, paralyzing eyes. If Pat Narduzzi consumed all of his food like a python,
yeah,
by like hypnotizing it with his gaze and then just swallowing it whole,
yeah,
this wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who, despite everything that we know about Pitt football, when you look at him make a speech, makes you want to play Pitt football, but also he's bad at math, which is a concern.
All you got to count to is 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, this is I'm gonna have to count. I'm gonna have to lean on Whittingham. I'm gonna have to lean on Whittingham to keep Narduzzi's more dangerous antics in check.
Actually, based on what we know about his goal line tendencies, counting to three is that's his number.
Yeah,
count to three and you're done, right? 1, 2, 3. That's it.
I forgot to mention Kyle Whittingham also comes with the Utah student section.
Oh, they're gonna storm the ring.
Yeah, at least three times a match.
Ryan's fourth selection is an exciting one. It is Jim Grobe back.
What?
What? My God, it's Jim Grobe.
Jason, remind us again how you selected Ryan's wrestlers.
Ryan's wrestlers were basically the most sarcastic novelty votes by public readership.
So all of the Bronx cheers are Ryan's team now?
Pretty much.
Can I make a draft pick for Ryan? Like, is this?
No, he's not here.
All right. Ryan has all the Doink the Clowns.
He does. I was gonna give him David Cutcliffe as a character called.
David Cutcliffe's on my board.
I was gonna make him a character.
You think
called,
you can kill David Cutcliffe?
I was gonna make him a character called the Colonel. Hello, boys.
David Cutcliffe absolutely can slap the Bob Backlund on you. And
yeah. Don't disrespect the full Nelson.
Holly, you're up for our final round.
All right, I think I need to close out with a little. Taking Narduzzi in the fourth round makes me want to veer a little bit back towards steadiness, because I have Kyle Whittingham, but he needs a strong lieutenant. Kyle Whittingham can only control so much character at once, and he's got PJ Fleck, he's got Mark Stoops, and he's got Pat Narduzzi to contend with. I'm going to want a steady hand on the tiller who can also put the fear of God into you. When the need arises, I'm going to want like a quiet storm type situation where, you know, it's an air of quiet menace until he just explodes. I'm going to pull Dino Babers for my final pull.
Got some size on him too.
Mm-hmm. He can talk. He can work a mic.
Have you ever seen him yell at a ref?
Oh, yeah.
He's good for one incredible speech per year at least.
I feel like I lose 2 inches in height every time I make eye contact with him on television, because it's like if you crossbred I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed dad energy with like a killer bee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Former
like the scariest lab created killer bee you could find.
He's a former two-way player at Hawaii. So
also named Dino.
Dino, it's a good name.
Yeah.
It looks like he's about 6'1", too. I think people think he's shorter than he is. But he looks to be about the same height as Dabo. And Dabo is apparently 6'1".
He's got some bulk, but if you've ever seen him chase after a ref, he moves well.
Yeah.
All right. I'm satisfied with my... I'm sad that it lost its way midway through. My original plan, I don't mind revealing this now, was to pull Mel Tucker and then Steve Addazio. But I think Pat Narduzzi and Steve Addazio is just too much chaos energy on one team. Although Steve Addazio is currently wearing a singlet right now, no matter where he is.
You can't have too much cop on one team unless you're putting a cop team together.
That's why I bracketed mine. My first pick and my fifth pick were my cop picks.
Yeah.
Right. All right. I believe the readers are next up.
Readers are next. And I cannot believe this guy made it to the fifth round. It is the man with the best name on the board. 6'2", former Snow College defensive back, 54 years old, Bronco Mendenhall.
Mm.
Oof. Better you than me, man.
So that's a fine pick. Could have gone in the first. Excellent value. That brings it to me. And I am now taking the second name on my board. I skipped him because I thought he would slide. 6'7", former Wisconsin tight end, only 33 years old, Sean Lewis of Kent State. Two-time academic All Big Ten. We got a big smart guy here.
Oh, we got a big old corn brain.
He is a robusto. He's a very large man.
So I got 6'7", Sean Lewis, 6'6", Brett Bielema.
I don't think I've ever seen Sean Lewis's official headshot before right now. Is he currently a wrestler?
He might be.
Like, he looks like a wrestler.
Yeah.
He's already in character.
Yeah. Also, as a tight end, not just size and strength. Dude can probably move.
So. Also, you can tell he really does have that Big Ten brain going, because his Wikipedia page, which they all write, says he played collegiately at Wisconsin.
Ooh, we went adverbial.
Mm.
Also, Spencer, you're right about the move, because he also returned some kicks at Wisconsin. Returning kicks at Wisconsin, I assume, just means fair catching, but still.
That's
good Lord, have you seen his spring football beard?
It's majestic.
Yeah. It's like it's not a Spencer Hall, but it's about a half Hall.
No, the man, and honestly, still in shape. So I think this is an outstanding pick on your part.
Jason, this is a great value bet on your part.
Very excited. Spencer, who is last to complete your extremely warm, damp team?
I am, again, sort of building a passel of heartland-like farm boys. There is a fullback still on the board, and a fullback who at the age of 41, I think could keep a pretty impressive work rate. He's worked some of the big circuits as a member of a team, as a second banana, as a hype guy, as a jobber. He's now got a head job, but he's out on the outskirts of things. So he's worked the Saskatchewans, the Tri-Cities areas of our nation. Yeah, he's done all of that. And I think he's ready to come and be part of the dream team. He brings kind of a roughneck air to things as a former fullback and is still in absolutely jacked shape. I don't know if he has any wrestling titles, like from high school, to his credit, but dude is 100% ripped at the age of 41. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and take North Texas head coach Seth Luttrell, who played fullback on the 2000 Oklahoma Sooners championship team.
Also probably picked up some musical talent hanging out in Denton for so long.
Yeah.
He's got to at least have connections to some local music.
Also, recall 2 years ago, the halftime of a North Texas SMU game was a wrestling match.
Correct.
And, yeah, you
so
look
we're
at,
playing.
He looks like if Coach Eric Taylor just worked out all day.
It has so many things, by the way. Like he's pretty decent on the mic. I sort of think of him as the anti-Muschamp in terms of demeanor. So I think he provides a good balance for what we're dealing with here. He's got a good head of hair. That's very important. I think oiled up and tanned, he's going to shine on camera.
He's got some non-threatening good looks that a certain demographic of the fan base is going to respond positively to.
At least half of the time, he's going to wrestle in jeans. Mm-hmm. That's my only requirement. If you look at him.
This is the Wranglers endorsement.
Yeah.
Waiting to happen.
Yeah. He was part of a minor league off-brand football team called the Roughnecks, I believe, mm-hmm. The Rough Riders. So we're going to have to get him in some Lees, like some tight-ass generic Lee jeans mm-hmm. in the ring for at least half of the time. I know this is going to upset Mike Gundy, and I hope it does, because that rivalry needs to happen.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Mm.
So, yeah, overall, like when you look at it, how do you feel about your squads at this point?
Well, we got to do Ryan's last pick first, and let's come back to that.
All right. I forgot that he was here.
He's not.
We have one last suggestion or one last pick for Ryan, but it has a stipulation to it. Comes to us from the readers. This is the fifth and final name on Ryan's team, Manny Diaz, late 2019 edition. Keep in mind.
That's cheating.
Manny Diaz. Well, think about this. Think about.
That's cheating, and that's bad for Ryan.
Wrestlers go through incarnations and looks and characters and gimmicks and, you know.
Okay.
In a wrestling video game, it'll come out and it'll be like, you can be Kane, or you mm-hmm. can be 1998 Kane, or you can be 1999 Kane. Mm-hmm. 2019 Manny Diaz. We're talking about a dude who just looked like he was ready to fucking never look at a football ever again.
Like 20 pounds underweight? Yeah, it looked like mm-hmm. he had lost a significant amount of stress weight.
So are we looking for him to fill like an Undertaker type role?
I think we're looking at him to do sort of an Orange Cassidy type role. The wrestler who just sort of stands around with his hands in his pockets.
The Wraith.
Yeah. That's kind of what he's going to do for Ryan.
Team would be the team that ended up with two managers, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of administrative energy.
So we should review our teams, and I think we wanted to pick entrance music for these folks.
Yeah.
Real quick, I wanted to note a few who didn't get picked. Pat Fitzgerald, of course, who was probably the best college football player of anybody out here. Still,
but also none of us like him.
None of us
like him. We don't pick scabs.
Mm. I think if we were putting together a heel team, he would have been the first pick.
Mm. Ooh, quick. Who's your all heel team? Like if we each like Pat Fitzgerald, James Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
Man, is the heel team entirely Big Ten?
Yeah, it's all Harbaugh's Big Ten.
On there.
Harbaugh's definitely on there.
I would put Gundy on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Gundy would definitely go on there. And
Chip Kelly?
No, because there's no.
He's so fun when he's angry, though. Yeah, he looks like a Kirby.
I think Chip Kelly is an awesome ref announcer type. I just want him to.
Yeah, Adazio. I would put Adazio on the heel team.
No, not on the heel team. That's a dude. He's too genial to be a heel. I've got an unfunny one. Dave Doran.
Yeah, if you just want unfunny. Just a giant. Oh, Greg Schiano.
Oh, wait. No. Mike Loxley. We already know we can punch.
Yeah. And Greg Schiano. You got to put Schiano on there because, you know.
All right.
One more for the heel team. Larry Fedora.
Well, absolutely, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about current coaches, so I guess that didn't really cross my mind.
That shirt's coming off.
Yeah. Yeah.
That shirt was never on. I'm also surprised that noted tacticians Jeff Munkin and Todd Graham didn't get a look by anybody.
Todd Graham, we just can't get a hold of him. No one knows.
That's fair.
The number one name on my board that I was actually considering was Jeff Brohm, the most XFL man of all time. Only 48, was a great athlete. Played two sports, 6'1". Also, two other names, both very, very, very wrestling. Chad Lunsford, Georgia Southern. Pretty big.
Yeah.
Always hitting stuff with folding chairs. Like, this is literally a celebration. He'll do the people's elbow in a folding chair. He's the most wrestler football coach currently. And also, Sam Pittman, the new Arkansas coach.
Oh, yeah.
I thought we might see him, yeah.
I don't think he can move all that well. He played for he was a DE for Pittsburgh State. That's cool. However, he has nicknamed himself after a wrestler, and I think it shows enough self-awareness that he's going to be an incredible character. He calls himself King Kong Bundy.
That is good. So he's going with the single strap, right?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
I was personally surprised not to see Herm Edwards on anybody's board. He has definitely surprised a lot of us with his comeback over the past couple seasons. And we all know he's big into, I see him as like a manager heel.
Yeah.
You know, because he's got big, big front office energy as well. But we all know that he is ready to hop into the ring at a moment's notice.
Yeah.
And the last two names that I don't think we mentioned from the readership were Derek Mason and Charlie Strong. Both intense, charming, great shape. It's not very big.
That's true. And also, I know that Derek Mason will continue to talk shit no matter what the score is or how they're doing. Because after hitting the third win last year at Vanderbilt, he came out and said, "I was made for this!" Third win. Whole season. Wasn't week three, by the way. Was not week three. Was much more than that.
So let's review our teams. Holly, do you want to go first?
Yeah. Let's see. I've got bracketed by my two captains. I've got Kyle Whittingham and Dino Babers holding together a team of just madmen in the middle. A core of PJ Fleck attacking from the air. Mark Stoops attacking from the sea because he's kind of like a really ruddy kaiju. And then Pat Narduzzi attacking from the ground because Lord knows you don't want to put him in the air in any situation.
Do we have a sense for entrance music for this very versatile group?
This group is kind of all over the place, and I don't quite feel like I have a key on their vibe yet because I had to take such a turn with my fourth and fifth picks.
Can I give you a suggestion?
I'm thinking 90s country. I'm thinking prime country.
Okay. This is what I was going to suggest. These are all very professional.
My first instinct is Clint Black, Good Run of Bad Luck.
Okay.
But I'm willing to hear others.
I was going to say these are all very businesslike.
Mm-hmm.
I would call the entire assembly the firm. Because you take care of business, okay? Yeah. Or the board, where Kyle Whittingham's nickname was the chairman.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
People with chairs.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, exactly. And that you get to it, you cut me, you just cut right to the chase there, Jason. That's when you break out the chairs, because it's time for a board meeting.
Yeah.
The board meeting could also involve 2x4s if you wanted it.
That is what Vince McMahon would call, "Oh, good shit, that's such good shit.
That's good shit. Can the music be Taken Care of Business by Turner Bachman Overdrive?" Yeah.
The other one.
Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Yeah. No, I thought you were doing that to avoid copyright.
Yeah, this podcast has been canceled due to me even mentioning the song Taking Care of Business.
The readers team, Ed Ogeron, Mike Gundy, Dana Holgerson, Mel Tucker, and Bronco Mendenhall. That's an amazing team. That's a fantastic team.
This is who says you can't go home.
Yeah. Yeah. These are the roustabouts, right?
Mm. What is, hang on while I pull up the soundtrack for the movie Old Dogs.
Can we just call them the War Boys? Because that's the War Boys, right?
That's good.
No, not Old Dogs. What's the movie I'm thinking of where...
Wild Hogs?
Thank you. That's a common thing.
This is very much either...
Oh, wait, the same guy directed... Wait, not only did the same guy direct Wild Hogs and Old Dogs, so it's his fault, the director of Wild Hogs and Old Dogs is named Walt Becker.
Okay.
Okay, so we need some Steely Dan. Hmm.
I like either... You just call them... Listen... They're the wild dogs. That's it.
Mm.
Wild dogs. And then everything there is basically collar based humor, right?
Yeah.
Or bone based humor. Jason, how you looking?
That's good shit. We can sell wild dog shirts. All right. Luke Fickell, Mario Cristobal, Brett Bielema, Kalani Sitake, Sean Lewis. We are naming ourselves Meat Corp. Coming out to the most just like thudding, thumping music. I don't want melody. I barely want rhythm. I just want a clanging sound, like the sound of an elephant being dropped off a building over and over. Just thump. That's our music.
I think you should come out to Bring Him Out. Just the line.
That is way too intense and high energy for this.
No, group. just the beef line looped over and over again.
So want if, beef?
I think if we use a, I think if we use any hip hop, we're taking out everything but the bass line. Actually, we're taking out everything. We're taking out everything but the 808. That's what I want. Just an 808,
boom,
bonking very hard, and that is our song.
Okay, I like it.
What if that, Jason? What if that's your crew because it's 404 based but extra hefty?
Yeah, yeah.
So they would be the 808.
Yeah, I like it. Double 404. We've got, for me, I ended up selecting Will Muschamp, Scott Frost.
Oh, also area code 808 is the Hawaiian Islands.
See?
Good.
Nick Rolovich, Gary Patterson, and Seth Luttrell.
That's a mixed bag.
Well, you know, that's a lot of, that's I feel
a,
like.
That's a good name. That's a good name.
Trail mix.
The mixed bag.
Mm.
No.
The variety pack.
I think we're going to be called the valets because we're here to get the bag.
Oh, God.
What's wrong with the wet men?
The wet men?
Yeah.
The flood.
The tide.
Yeah, the tide.
The princes of tides. The Pelican Briefs. No.
The Frogmen. Because you're the one who's going to take a dive.
Oh, that's good. That's good shit.
That's how we move merch. We all come in wetsuits. Can you imagine anything funnier?
Battle Toads. Toads aren't wet.
Will Muschamp having to walk 100 yards to the ring in a wetsuit with fins. They're so stupid.
Can he pick his legs far up enough off the ground?
Let's find out.
Like, if you were trying to track Will Muschamp through snow, it would just look like an ATV.
Oh, Gary,
had driven through.
Gary Patterson like, would look like he was in a balloon.
Like the trail of a slug on a sidewalk.
Yeah. That would be Gary Patterson's power, by the way. You'd go down to pin him and just he'd squirt right out like a watermelon seed, right?
He's trying to lock it in. Trying to lock him in the line.
Gary, the watermelon seed and Patterson.
Whoop! There he goes. Just fires across the ring.
As natural protection. I'd call it unnatural protection, King.
Spencer, what's your entrance music?
I think if I'm going to put the flood out there, then I think we're coming out to When the Levee Breaks, right? That's what we're doing.
Yikes.
Yeah. No, wait, listen.
Commentary.
A slight twinge of problematic. Oh, that's definitely wrestling choice. That's we're coming out to that.
Yeah. That's good shit. And finally, Ryan's gruesome collection of Derek.
Look, Ryan ended up with a better team than he had any right to by in terms of just wrestling by virtue of having Clay Helton and Carl Pellini.
He did.
Derek Dooley, Clay Helton, Carl Pellini, Jim Grobe, and 2019 Manny Diaz.
Derek Dooley just constantly fighting Ryan for control of the program.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. Yeah,
you're gonna openly attempting to undercut him.
You're going to have factions within your faction. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is going to be an NWO Wolfpack situation.
Dooley is his own faction because nobody likes him.
I feel like with a team like this, with the awful jobber teams who are just clearly going to lose, you have to give him a name that is a little bit too cool, you know?
Like, see, I was going to say that Carl Pellini insists on naming their team like Dunder Sniffling or something, like a really coked up version of The Office, and will not let it go.
God, this is a very difficult team to find any sort of common thread, right? Anything.
Fired for cause. No, not that.
You know what? Can we just go ahead and copyright infringe and call them the Watchmen and give them the lame gimmick of all wearing watches so they can be like, you know what time it is?
Yeah, that's good. That's there. Good. Yeah. And then their music will just be like a clock ticking. That's their music.
You just like hear an all vanilla Flavor Flav lineup.